comes to us this day from the Gospel of John, beginning with chapter 15, where it is written in verse 26. When the Advocate comes, Jesus said, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. And in chapter 16, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. The word of God for us, the people of God. But today we continue our sermon series, Holy Spirit, as we prepare the celebration of Pentecost in just 2 weeks. And all sorts of questions abound around the Holy Spirit. And so we're taking a few weeks to walk our way through some of the chief scriptures in the Bible. Today we're taking a look at the Gospel of John, chapter 14 through 16, are several passages about the Holy Spirit. Today we're taking a look at just two of them, but there's a lot in each one of these. If you take a look at chapter 15, beginning with verse 26, he says that the Advocate is coming. The Advocate will come. And we think about, what does the word advocate mean? Well, we know in the original language what it refers to is one who will come to aid. And so we find within our different Bible translations, sometimes it's translated advocate, sometimes counselor, sometimes helper. But in each one of these ways, it means one who is going to come and give us aid. For we as Christians need God's power and God's help each and every day. And that is what the Holy Spirit is about working in our life. Now Jesus continues on and he says, when I send to you from this Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. This is one of those interesting passages of Scripture that in the early church, they spent some time reflecting on this and what it means. And it became one of those passages that helped them and guide them into their understanding of God as revealed as Trinity. You know, the New Testament scholar N.T. Wright once said that if the early church had not articulated the doctrine of Trinity, then we would have to today, to make sense out of the way God has revealed to us in Scripture. Now it says, of course, there in verse 26, that the Advocate is going to be testifying about Christ, and that we also must testify, for you have been with me from the very beginning. And so we know part of the work of the Holy Spirit is testifying to what Christ has done and what he is doing in his ministry still through the Holy Spirit. And so that means there's this deep connection with what Christ was doing in the dusty roads of Galilee, the words that he was saying, the words of life into people, the actions, the miracles that he did, the things of Christ's ministry, and what the disciples are testifying to, and the things of Christ's ongoing ministry through the Holy Spirit, and what we are called to testify to. And how might that be? Well, if we went back just a few chapters in the Gospel of John, there's this interesting conversation between a man by the name of Nicodemus and Jesus. Now, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was part of the Jewish council, and he was interested, though, in what Jesus was saying. There was something about Jesus' words and teachings that just drew Nicodemus to him. And there was something about the things that Jesus did, the way he acted, the way he healed, that really stirred in Nicodemus' heart. But he was concerned about what his other peers and fellow Pharisees would think. So he comes to Jesus in the darkness to ask him questions. And it's interesting the way the conversation begins. It's found in chapter 3. He says, teacher, clearly you are a rabbi who has come from God, and the things that you do can only come from God, which is a very nice compliment if you're trying to strike up a conversation with somebody. But Jesus, not interested in that, just cuts to the chase. He says, look, the kingdom of God can only be seen by those who are born again. And Nicodemus is wondering, what on earth does that mean? To be born again? And he says, How is someone who is full grown supposed to enter back into their mother's womb? And of course, Jesus says, no, what is born of the flesh is born of the flesh, but what is born of the Spirit is born of the Spirit. In other words, when the Holy Spirit enters into our lives, what happens is our spiritually blind eyes are opened up. We're beginning to see the beauty and the reign of God in the world in our lives that we would have never seen before. We begin to understand the truth of God's forgiveness given to us in Christ Jesus and the freedom of life lived in Him. And so we too then become a people with a testimony. A testimony to what God has done and is doing in our lives. And so we join in that long tradition, 2,000 years old, of being able to share with others what it is that Christ has done in our lives. For some of us, there's a point where we can clearly say, there's a time in my life I did not know Jesus. I didn't know Christ and His love and His salvation. And then I got to know Him and my life changed in this way. For others of us, you're like me. I grew up my whole life in the church. There's never been a time that I haven't known Christ's love. But there have been times that I have separated myself more from Christ's love and not followed His teachings and His ways in my life than other times. And I can tell you that when I allowed my heart to be open and when I followed His guiding and His teaching, my life definitely changed. And so it is that any one of us, whether we've grown up in the church all of our lives or we're brand new to this relationship with Jesus, we all have a testimony to offer. And when we do, we find our lives bound up with the work of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, because that is the Holy Spirit's work, to advocate and to testify to this Jesus. Well, as we move into chapter 16, beginning with verse 12, we see again Jesus teaching. And He says to the disciples, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. Now we know here in the Gospel of John at this point, the disciples haven't seen the Last Supper yet. They haven't experienced that yet. Jesus hasn't gone and been crucified yet or raised to the third day yet. There's a whole lot that the disciples haven't yet experienced or known. And so there are teachings that they are not yet ready to receive. And we think about this in our own lives. Isn't it not true that for some of us, when we were 6 years old or 13 years old, there are things that we would not fully have understood that God needs to teach us when we're 30 or when we're 50 or when we're 70? There's a context that happens. There's a struggle in life at 50 or 70 years old that someone who is 6 may not fully understand. And yet God continues to have something to teach us throughout our lives. And so what that means is that whether you're 6 or 13, God has a word for you to help you right in your life, right now, where you are, to guide you and lead you into His ways. And when you're 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 or 80, God continues, as you encounter new challenges, God continues to give you new understanding and new strength and new grace for each and every day and each challenge that you could not have even conceived of years earlier. Christ has much to teach us and to offer us as we grow in Him. When we continue on, in verse 13, Jesus says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. There's an interesting echo here that we find with what Jesus is saying, because just a chapter or two earlier in the Gospel of John, Jesus Himself is saying, I am the truth, the way, and the life. And so now we hear this sense of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. You know, sometimes we get worried or concerned when we turn on the TV or maybe we turn on the radio or we read in the newspaper and we see things and hear things about people and the Holy Spirit. We wonder just what sorts of things are these and what does this all mean? But in Scripture, there's always this deep connection between Christ and the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit will guide you into all the truth. Now the word there, to guide, means to lead in the way. So if you think about it for a moment, the Holy Spirit is there in the very beginning. When we are born again, when we are born in Christ's love, when we begin to have our eyes open wide. We're beginning a whole new life in Him. But God isn't done with us yet. He's only just begun. He's going to guide us and lead us every step of the way through our life with God. And so that is the work of the Holy Spirit. So we shouldn't be putting the Holy Spirit to the side, or we get to those passages and close up the Bible, or we're not really quite sure what to do. No, we should be opening our hearts anew every day and asking for the Holy Spirit to be moving in our lives and opening our hearts to His Word and to His wisdom and to His salvation. Well, we continue on the very next slide. Jesus says He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears. And He will tell you what is yet to come. And so again, this shows that deep connection. When the Holy Spirit is speaking into our lives, He will only say the things that He hears, and He hears from the Son. The Son who came and taught on those dusty roads of Galilee, sharing those good words of new life and hope and the actions that Christ did. This is what the Holy Spirit will continue in your life. So again, it's not something we need to be concerned about unless what we see that's supposed to be of the Holy Spirit doesn't seem to be corresponding to what we know about Christ Jesus. Because we know that the Holy Spirit will only lead us into the things of Christ and deeper into His salvation and hope in Him. Well, as we continue on to the very next verse, verse 14, He says, "And He, the Holy Spirit, will glorify Me, because it is from Me that He will receive what will be made known to you." And that is a very important word, that sense of glorify. We could spend a whole sermon just on the word glorify, what it means. But there's two sides to the same coin. To glorify means not something that we're adding to God, but it's a way of recognizing who God is. We begin to open our eyes and understand the truth and the awesomeness of who this God is in our lives. And the more that we open our hearts and the more we open our lives, something happens. In the Bible, there's always a connection with the glory of God in your life and your life changing. You can't have the glory of God in your life without you becoming different. Without you, as the Apostle Paul would write to the Corinthians, moving from glory to glory. The Holy Spirit is going to change you. As your mind and heart is open to the glory of who this God is who saves you, you can't stay the same. He's going to continue to guide you and lead you and heal you as you begin to reflect His glory in your own life. To glorify God is to begin to show His character in yours. And so the work of the Holy Spirit is to transform us from glory to glory so that we begin to reflect even further in our lives the truth and the joy and the life given to us in Jesus. As the early church was reflecting on what it meant to glorify God, one of the early writers was a man by the name of Saint Gregory of Nyssa. And he said this. He said, "The glory of God is the human being fully alive." The glory of God is the human being fully alive. Because that's what God's Spirit does with your life. He strengthens your spirit. He gives you life that is life. So the more that you are transformed by God's glory, the more you are touched by His love, the more you're redeemed by His grace, the more truly free and alive you become. And that is what God desires for you. And that is why He sends the Holy Spirit for you. And so this day I invite you to renew your openness to God's love being poured into your lives through the Holy Spirit. And as we prepare the celebration of Holy Communion, I invite you to listen for the words of the Holy Spirit as we seek, "Come, Holy Spirit, upon these gifts of bread and wine, that God may continue to work in our lives as we receive the bread of life and the cup of hope." Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we just thank You for this love that has been poured out in Christ Jesus, that we receive anew through faith and trust in You, by the Holy Spirit stirring our hearts and our lives in helping us trust each and every day in Your love and in Your salvation. And Lord, may especially this morning, may we open our hearts anew to this feast with the living Christ, that by through your Holy Spirit, our lives may continue to be transformed in his. For it is in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen.